afternoon, and big thank you to you for staying with 95.1 Nigeria Info. Welcome to Hard Facts. My name is Kimberly Mwachukwu. Call me Kim or the Oracle, and you'll be correct. I'll be here till 7 p.m., and I promise you, there's so much. The show is packed. There's plenty to talk about today, starting with the round table where we'll look at some of the big, big stories driving conversation in the country today. And I am super stoked and excited because I've got my guest already seated comfortably in the studio. I've got Elder Emma Okoro, who is the Director General of Center for Media Access, where you air your views. And I'm sure there will be a lot of views and perspective aired on the roundtable today. Is also Managing Editor of Verbatim Magazine. Am I correct? Elder Okoro, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Delighted to have you in the studio with us.
Thank you, Kim, my sister.
And happy birthday again, belated. I feel very guilty.
Yes.
That it didn't come on your birthday with a proper shout-out. Forgive me. Children can air, so yes. Just take it that one has aired today.
Kim, I want to say this, and that is my joy. I was overwhelmed. Somebody paid for the hotel, and my friends took me up and said, let's go and have dinner.
A great time. You've had good friends, though. Elder.
You know, when I went to the hall, I thought I was in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that.
A surprise birthday party.
Yes, and Reverend ministers came there. The group were made up of journalists, mainly in the broadcast media. They said they want to celebrate somebody who they love. I was overwhelmed with emotion. And, you know, it was not easy to have friends come together to say, thank God for you. Mm. And my granddaughter came also. She danced with me. And I got so many gifts. I didn't know what to say, Kim. So for all my friends who honored me during my birthday celebration, I want to thank all of you and to say that God would give you people the grace and the divine favor to become grandfather. Mm. Kim, it's not a little thing, you know.
I wanted to say, how old is it, your 50th birthday? Because you look 50, you know. Or 45. You're rocking it, Elder Okoro.
You know, when we're dancing, this joker said to me, okay, honestly, you're not dancing like somebody who's a grandfather. I said, I don't feel like a grandfather. I had the jeans on.
It's age is just a number. It's how you feel. It's your state of mind.
It's true. It's true. I thank God for His mighty grace in my life. Mm-hmm. And at 71, it's special day to say to God, thank you for all you've done for me and my friends.
Yes. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you.
And interestingly, we're talking birthday. Today, the 17th of March, is actually my dad's birthday.
Really?
He goes by Patrick because it's St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March.
Yes.
And it's his birthday today.
Is your father Catholic?
Yes, I come from a Catholic home.
Okay, I didn't know. I thought you come from an Anglican home.
No.
Because when you speak on radio, you are so liberal that only Anglicans and other people can...
Oh, really?
Espouse. Oh, yes. Catholics are conservative people.
Really?
My mother used to be a Catholic. And some things, she would tell me, you don't say these things. Like my mother, you never beat any girl, no matter what a girl does to you. You never, never, never means never. And she said it's from her conservative Catholic background. You revere women, you respect women, you adore
women. It shouldn't just be about one denomination in terms of your faith. It should just be as a human, respecting people and things like that.
And let me tell you this, Kim. I am happy that your father is proud of you because all over the world, Kimberly Mwachukwu has raised the Mwachukwu legacy. Beyond ordinary.
Thank you very much.
Whatever your father is, I'm wishing him the best and to tell him that we are celebrating her daughter.
Thank you, sir.
In the federal capital of Nigeria.
Thank you.
And
we make sure he hears this.
Yes, and her daughter's voice he said all over the world.
Thank you very much. You're very kind, sir.
Thank you, Kim.
You're very, very kind. I'm delighted that you're on the show with me today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yes. So the Anambra State Governor has been formally inaugurated into office.
Yes.
So Anambra State officially has His Excellency Charles Soludo as the Executive Governor of Anambra State. It's left for us to see what he's got to offer for the state. And even before he was sworn in, He had even started some initiative as to idea pool, bank of ideas, what ideas do young people have that we can move the state forward. So a lot of eyes will be on him to see how he's going to move that state significantly forward. He's talking about mopping up the Onitsha market, removing towel, just a few of the things he mentioned during his swearing in today.
Kim, I tell you this, I'm very, very happy for the people of Anambra State. He began the journey several years ago. He's my friend. And when he was in the central bank, he had a higher level of, a very high level of integrity and morality. Yeah. And he was strict and practical with his behavior. All his friends, family, he draws a red line to say, don't cross over here. All through when Soludo was the central bank governor, Kim, I never begged him for any favor. We only got around, you know, chatted things. He likes me a lot because he thinks, you know, I'm one of the finest journalists he found. But he is an intellectual of the first order, but very practical. And when he became a professor at a very young age, I knew too that he had an ambition. His program would transform Anambra if really we were to follow it. Like today, he was very conservative with spending Anambra money. He was so local with the Anambra, made in Anambra dressing. And I'm happy for the people of Anambra because for all these years, Kim, they have very high level of education in Anambra State. Remember, mark you, this is the state where Dr. Nnamdi came from, Dr. Gweme. So many of them from Anambra State, I'm talking about ranking intellectuals of the first order.
Yeah.
They come from Anambra State. And take only then that with very rich men. I googled the other day, I was studying in my library. I found out that they have over 15 billionaires in Anambra State. You know, Kim, I didn't know that. I said to myself, that's why people from Newi, from Oka, from other places, they are very entrepreneurial in character. So now that the man of intellectual caliber has come, I think, I heard this afternoon that he went straight to one slum in Anambra where he told them that he wasn't here for celebration, that he was here to get to work.
Yeah.
I was told that it was a slum in Opoku. I watched him, there was no pretense, there was no air about it. He said, I want to get to work, want to deal with this slum.
Yeah.
And I was happy, and I thought to myself, I hope the other governors are watching him. He's not only a very wealthy man, but he has the spirit of dedication. He mentioned people like Dr. Azikiwe in his speech, Amado Bello, Awolowo. So I see him coming with a full knowledge of the history of African patriots and that of Nigerian dedicated men and women who have fought for this country. And I thought, contextually, those of our governors whom your friend referred to as Yahoo governors, they will learn from his speech. I want them to read his speech. I called some of my friends who are governors, I said to them, please get the whole of that man's speech and see if there's anything you can learn so they can
read. But isn't it beyond speech? There are a lot of people who have put out fine talk.
Yes.
When they're sworn in, during their inauguration, that
yes.
is. And the performance is abysmal. So at this point in time, it's left for us to see beyond talk. The action.
Now, came during the election, he invited me to come to Anambra State, and I was in Anambra State. And my fears were, before he became the governor, he told me 2 years ago, he said, Elder, Anambra people are interested in somebody who's very practical. They've tested all sorts of people. But they now want to see somebody who can transform the Anambra State and bring in inclusivity of all stakeholders. And I said to him, can you do this? He says, Eda, you know me, I will do it. And I said, okay, we're going to be here. And when he won, he was patient enough to say that he was going to make Anambra one of the most industrialized states in the country. And you know, Soludo, he does not engage in frivolous talks. He's a straightforward guy. He neither drinks or smokes. He doesn't run around women. He's a very straight guy. You know, sometimes when we speak on many things. He says, I'm not a part of that. It's not flamboyant. It's not frivolous. He gets results on, you know, if you read his CV, whatever Soludo wants to do, he gets it done. And I think, and I called him this morning, I said to him, however you do it, the eyes of the world are on you.
Well, we wish him the very best as he takes over the reign of affairs of Anambra State.
Yes.
Seemed to be one of the big stories today, but a bigger story out of the inauguration was the slap that was dealt on the wife of the former governor, Obiano, by Bianca Ojukwu.
Yes.
It's quite interesting because it seemed like that is more of it that Nigerians are talking about. What would make two women get physical there? Going by a lot of stories, some of them, well, not so much confirmed as to what must have triggered it.
Yes.
Obiano's wife, or Mrs. Obiano, who came in a bit late, shook hands with some people and saw Bianca and said, oh, I thought you said you would never show up at any ABGA meeting. And how that translated to a slap, for me, it's beyond me. I want to believe the heat is taking a toll on people.
Mm.
It is not just a very perfect reaction to that. And it's a bit shameful, though.
Kim, when I read it, I was very ashamed.
It's embarrassing.
Because of, if you look at the pedigree of Bianca, and you wonder, could Bianca forget her family, her family glory, her family pedigree, her charisma and everything? Mm. But of course, I know that there is no smoke without fire. Mm. When I visited Anambra, I had so many, as a journalist, I won't say this nationally, but there were so many dirty stories flying around. And about Mrs. The governor's wife, Obiano. And when the governor invited all of us to a ceremony in Awka, people asked me to do well to stay away from the wife. People said to me, Elder, whatever you do, she can get temperamental. And as soon as they told me that, I watched her. And when she was walking up to the podium with the governor, her demeanor showed me that she could be up to something very funny. And you know, Kim, in that kind of place, you carry yourself with dignity and poise.
Mm.
I don't know how the wife of the former governor would get that mean. You know, it's terrible, Kimmy. And I can tell you, Kim, we must be very careful who we marry and the conduct of who we marry in the public. You know. It's like an Reverend minister. Wherever you're going, you're carrying your clout before you. You know, the main things people do, but what is done by a Reverend minister, it takes a different tone. For example, people like us who write news. I've heard some ministers, I said to them, you're a Reverend minister, for goodness sake, you know. You're not supposed to act this way. Whenever you wear the robe of a Reverend minister, you conduct yourself in the highest forms of equity. But I tell you, in this period when women are asking for total understanding of the men folk, for the former governor,
the former governor was the one who said something and received the slap from Kaujuku, so I don't know why she's the villain in the story. to say, madam, I thought you said you don't come to any ABGA meeting, and then to be greeted with a slap from that statement. Elder, you can see that this one cracks you up.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, there must be a backstory, because that statement is not enough to get a slap. So there is a whole lot we have not been told that might come up and might never ever come up. I have had people tell me, you did here today. I just say, you know, go come. I've never slapped them before.
Kim, you know, Anambra is a very...
is that how they behave in Anambra State?
It's an exciting place, you know. Things happen there. Well, this is one of them, and she's gone down in history. She nearly ruined the swearing ceremony.
That must have gotten Soludo upset and his family, because it took a shine away from that moment.
It should, and it's all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bigger story than the inauguration proper.
I know. And I think we in the media will hype it up and make...
Well, it's not about the media convention. It's more of social media.
I know.
If you're looking at the social media space.
Yes.
People are talking more of the slap to the inauguration.
I agree, because it's news. We in journalism, that is news for us, big news. You can write too many stories emanating from that act of...
It's not every day they get a slap on an
inauguration. That is what I think, my sister. Yes.
All right. So looking at some of the story, apparently this really cracked a little up.
Yes.
Funny story, I'm telling you, talking about women who are high up there and comport themselves properly in public.
No, those women who are dancing at the assembly, I wish we can show them the picture and say to them, now you're asking the nation to accommodate you. Yeah, two of your women.
But men fight the other. Let's
never name a man that has fought in such a situation. Name one case since 1960.
Because there's
we can fight.
They are telling me to name since 1960.
Men can fight at the back end, but not when you go to a very big VIP occasion like that. You go and disgrace yourself.
You know, I feel like there are tons of this story, but none is coming to mind.
Let us get one. Because we are the men, we are leading the nation forward, not slapping people.
All right, let's look at more stories. It seems like the federal government has acknowledged the fact that this energy crisis is taking Nigerians are taking a beating from it, actually, beating to the ground. Fuel scarcity, power grid off and on, lights being rationed in some part of town, and the likes of it. So. Says that the president has apologized to Nigerians over the petrol scarcity and power outage experience in the country. Since February, there's been petrol scarcity in the country following the importation of off-spec petrol into the country. The scarcity, although now easing off in parts of the country, led to the hike in the price of petrol as well as long queues at filling stations. Meanwhile, there are currently reports of power outages across the country, with the national grid set to have collapsed twice within 72 hours. They put out a statement that has been restored, but gradually powering up the nation. According to the statement issued on Wednesday by Garba Shehu, presidential spokesman Buhari said the federal government is taking steps to address the issue. The president said he regrets the inconvenience experienced by Nigerians regarding petrol shortage, adding that action will be taken against those responsible for worsening the situation at depots. And that's it, an apology. The queues are still biting here.
Oh, yes.
I hear in some part of Lagos is easing out. Someone said that to me yesterday. Not in Lagos. He stays here. Says someone told him that. But there's some state, Kaduna, and a few other places where it's still pretty much intense. An apology is good, but one would want to see the end of it as to from February. January, as a matter of fact, for the FCT, towards the end of January, is when the fuel scarcity started building up. And then the power situation itself, it's on a different dimension. We got the NERC, the National Electricity Regulatory Commission, admits that indeed tariffs were reviewed, and every 6 months they'll be reviewing the tariff. I recall when we started talking about it and saying that, we pay more for electricity and get lesser units. And some people are like, nothing formally came from government, but it happened. They didn't mention it then. But a lot of people who particularly use prepaid meter would know that they are getting less units for the money they usually get every month, or it depends on how frequently they get it also. So it is where we are at the moment. Beyond an apology, I guess, Elder Koro, we want to see more.
Yes. Now, Kim, let's say this. I wrote one article in Verbatim magazine once, and we talked about reminiscing about the Nigerian experiment. This last few months of the Buhari administration would help Nigerians to know what kind of leader we should elect seriously. You know, we have come to the nadir of a terrible, ugly experience. Poverty, hunger, starvation, insecurity, unemployment, and then we're talking about long fuel queues. You know, the Honorable Minister of the FCT, she came in, there was a ceremony, Kim, that was held where Dr. Bonano, the Minister of Science and Technology, was holding a week-long expose on Nigeria's technology. Of course, this lady, the Minister of the FCT, the State Minister, she expressed deep concern about the poverty and the suffering. The reason being that by her nature, I said, So you people feel it? She says, yes, Elder Koro. He says, when I drive by and see long queues, it touches her heart. And I said, ah, well, it's because she's a different kind of minister, a minister who commiserates with our suffering people. She tells me that in the FCT here, that people talk to her about problems. That's why when you look at the voting, how many times now the media voted her one of the best minister in the country? Ooh. Because Dr. Mrs. Ramatu Tijani, I got the report. And if you go, there's another
lady. Section of the media voted her the best minister.
I read the report. AY polls show too that most ministers don't know what the problems are. But is it COVID? Is it a breakdown of water supply? Is it breakdown of energy? This woman, of course, they tell me that it's because she has a PhD, that her education gives her the opportunity to touch and impact lives in the FCT. But then I'm saying, Kim, how could it be? This is the longest fuel problem we've had since I came to Abuja. The reason why I go through it is that sometimes my friends who have fuel filling stations, and I used to be the consultant to the IPMAN, they call me and say, Elder, can you come by 8 p.m.? I ask my driver. They go by 8 p.m. They fill their, they fill my car, and they fill 50 liters of fuel for me. And I said to myself, how many other Nigerians get treated this way? Because if I wasn't the former IPMAN consultant, could they remember that we need fuel? But sometimes I go on the street, Kim, I see those black marketeers hawking fuel at 5,000 naira for 10 liters.
Yep.
And I ask myself, how would Nigerians cope? No fuel, no kerosene, no coal, no firewood, no nothing. How much can we bear? And I thank God that in this country we are having a lot of patience. Yesterday, I listened to the secretary of the APC. When people said to him, how do you feel about this whole problem? Senator John Akpan Udedehe said, clearly, Nigerians are in pain, and that he was voted as senator at age 35, and that he feels the pain of Nigerians. I said, as secretary of APC feeling the pain of Nigerians, it is good. We can't hide anywhere, Kim, my sister. Our president took off from this country when that fuel problem came in. Now look at the apology. If it's true that the president will apologize, it's a general. I remember when I went to talk to him in the hotel here when he lost the election. He cried. And I said to him, General, this is the first time I've seen a military general cry. He wept for the depth of Nigeria's problems. That's what he told me. He cried. His aides came to give him white handkerchief to wipe his tears. He cried. The president cried. And I wrote in my article
he wasn't president when he cried.
Actually. No.
Well, I can't recall him weeping.
Weeping. You can say weeping.
I can't recall him crying after he was sworn in as president.
No, not before.
So this was before.
Before he was sworn in.
Before president.
Before he won the election. You know, Kim, you know why many people are feeling sorry? President Muhammad Buhari offered us the best opportunity to enjoy our country. And we all embracing with two hands, not with one hand. But, you know, like, he's apologizing now, if it is true, because
he really apologizes. Well, it was a statement put out by Garba Shehu. He's one of his handlers.
You know,
so if he puts out a statement, then that is the voice of the president.
Listen, as you said, the apology is late, Kim. It's late. Apology doesn't put fuel in my car. Apology doesn't give me the regular electricity. Apology doesn't give my children employment for them to gain employment and eat. Somebody brought to me a report the other day about racketeering. People said to me, either we pay so and so money to get job, and we pay the money, I've not gotten that job. And I can name names, and there are many of them who have come to me to say, please, either put it out on the news. Their children go to look for job, they pay money. Kim, they don't get this money. The level of corruption going on is horrendous. I can tell you as a journalist that maybe when this president leaves, we may get to get the story of how deep we went into corruption. The president said to us, before he came, he said, if we don't kill corruption, corruption will kill Nigeria. Kim, you're a journalist. Go deeper. Go to all the ministries. You hear stories you do not want to tell the world. I know about stories in most ministries, reeking of humongous corruption, and people are willing to come out and blow the whistle. And I ask myself, Garba Shehu is a journalist like me. Femi Adesina is a journalist like me. Do they really tell the president how we feel? In public relations, we say, perception is at the core of the truth of our facts of life. What if Garba just comes and says the president apologizes? Where's the president who's apologizing to us? In England? How many Nigerians can afford three square meals? How many Nigerians can afford a Panadol?
I think the criticism that greeted this, even though apologies, some Nigerians accepted the apology and said, well, we'd rather you fix the problem to apologizing, yes, is the fact that he came after he had addressed his political party issues, yes, looking at the internal wrangling they're dealing within the APC, to saying that seemed like priority for you, party politics to national issues that a greater number of people are grappling with. And then shortly after that, I'm sure the apology had to come to say, we understand the pain you're going through as a people, we're working on it, respite is around the corner, bear with us, and stuff like that.
Now, Kim, I can tell you this, most Nigerians are wiser than our leaders, and they will be able to react. You saw what happened in the municipal elections? Yeah. If it wasn't for Dr. Mrs. Ramatu Tijani, APC would have failed woofully in many of these places.
Okay. Because I can see that she is your favorite minister. It's your section of the media that made her the best minister. Because I was asking what section of the media.
Kim, as a lady, you know, I thought you should have known this since more than me.
I'm not saying she's a bad minister.
Yes.
I'm not saying she's
a very popular one.
If you're looking at the FCT, yes, she seemed to shine more than
So, yeah,
yeah. But you have mentioned her repeatedly, a point, yes, that I'm beginning to think she's your favorite.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, Kim, we as a nation, we are looking for problem solvers. Because when you talked about the problem of the president talking about this, the APC, I realized that he knows that if the APC implodes, it will affect governance. That's my thinking. I'm not defending him now, but I'm saying, he shouldn't have left immediately because he went to Kenya and then got back. They should have told him. That's why I keep asking Femi Adesina and Garba Shehu, do you people really tell the president how the country feels? And I don't want to tell you the answer to me.
All right, keep that to your chest, Odokoro. But yes, if you go on social media, you interact with Nigerian, the offices at home, it's the tall tale of lamentation. I mean, this fuel scarcity is biting so hard.
Yes.
And like our guest yesterday, Dr. Nya came and said, he's a leveler, both big and small.
Yes.
People who stay in service apartment are tweeting on how the apartment are saying, all right, you might have to get your individual drain and get your own fuel on yourself,
yes,
because
yes,
it's no longer... And the fact that he persisted for this long with different reasons responsible for it makes it even more frustrating,
yes,
coupled with the power situation, yes, at hand. All right, we can only hope for it to get better and better. We're going to open up the phone lines and get a few of your thoughts on the stories we've looked at with Elder Emmanuel Okoro. Some thoughts have come in. A lot of them are birthday greetings. Tope and quite a number of people have sent their birthday greetings and prayers.
Thank you all of you.
My warm regards to our ever strong and vibrant Elder Emmanuel Okoro at 71, but the voice of a 50-year-old from Abraham in Peru. All right, Chacha, we see your message also. The DNA Professor Dora Kunyele of blessed memory is also from Anambra State. May I so rest in peace. Congratulations to Professor Soludo, a fine gentleman who did well as CBN governor. I'm happy for the Anambrians. Women should learn to love women. How can Bianca just slap her excellency like that? Mrs. Ishaku Imbari cannot comprehend. Now, anyone that saw the video will rightly say that Mrs. Obiano was clearly at fault. And how can she leave her seat to go and taunt Bianca? And if you ask me, she got what she deserved with her. Oh, boy. That's Charles Mbat there. Well, did she leave her seat to taunt or she went to greet after she came in? Not sure, but just doesn't sound dignified.
Yes,
that
yes.
He ended up with so much violence. I mean, we preach against this kind of domestic violence. That was obviously violence meted yes. against her. Good afternoon, Kim and Elder Okoro. Please let congratulate Soludo on his inauguration as the governor of the great state. As for the slap, the woman in question has it in her DNA to the slap people anyhow. Yes. But the issue is that this nonsense has come to an end. If she tries that from tomorrow, only God knows what will happen. Finally, you can watch the video and see the fight yourself. John Kingsley, I'm not actually interested in seeing the fight between women. What's my business? I'm embarrassed enough that happened, and to see they snatched wigs and yes. raised their voice.
Yes.
It's totally embarrassing. Let's get to hear a few thoughts and we'll continue with more stories with our guest, Elder Emma Okoro. 0700-951-0000 is the number to call. You have 1 minute only. Your name, straight to the point. Hello.
Hello, my name is Efe.
You're welcome, Efe.
I'm the square queue in Safa Village, Sandawaki.
Sorry about
Thank
that.
Thank God for everything. Elder, happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much, my brother.
Many more fruitful years.
Thank you.
We live to enjoy the fruit of your labor.
Thank you.
I guess you two are trying to put the puzzle together.
Efe, what happened? You were just getting to your point and then your call dropped. I think it's from our end because the old lines just went blank. So Efe, you're permitted to call us back. Hello? Oh dear, the lines have gone off. So let's try all over again. 0700-951-0000. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, Kim.
You're welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is Alex calling from the Kim, first time caller.
Alex, first time caller. You're welcome.
Yeah, what I want to say is this. You should have let Elder continue his talking about how APC would not have been able to get even one vote in Abuja. You shouldn't have... See, the truth about it is that... Well, also, before I go forward, Elder, many more happy returns. And all the best to you in your future endeavors. Let him say the truth. APC is not a good... bunch of people. That is just all I want to say. And please let him talk so that people will understand, because people are not angry anymore. They are furiously raging. And it's going to take the grace of God for that rage to calm down. Thank you.
All right, Alex, we hear you. We hear you. Hello? Good afternoon.
Hello.
Welcome to the roundtable, sir. All right, Efe, go ahead.
Sorry, the puzzle I was saying about the governor's wife and Bianca, maybe the governor's wife went to Bianca and said, "Husband, snatcher, you are here." So she received the slap. So I pray God Almighty to give wisdom to His Excellency, Professor Charles Soludo, to lead Anambra very well. And for Mr. President to give us apology in London. He should come over here to come and give us the apology. He should come and fix our hospital. Come and fix our schools. Students are on strike. There is no way it happened. Cameron cannot come to Nigeria and apologize to UK citizens when they are suffering. His wife is in Dubai. He's in London. We are suffering here, and our president is in London apologizing to us. The apology that we kill. I mean, I'm on this queue for more than 2 hours now. Manpower wasted. And the president using my money to stay in UK apologizing to me. Apologize for what?
All right, thank you very much. Well, technically, not just your money, it's state resources if it's there. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello, Kim.
Welcome to the roundtable, sir.
Hello, Elder, and happy birthday.
Thank you so much, my brother.
My name is Morris.
Let's talk.
With respect to the cry that Elder said Buhari cried when he failed election. To me, the cry is obvious now that the cry is like the cry of an eunuch who is not allowed or who was not allowed to marry an innocent young damsel. Because now he has had 7 years. What is the evidence now of the cry? So he was not looking for people to deceive. He got it, and the deception has shown full blast in bold relief. Thank you very much.
Okay, so you will not be falling for any tears from any other person in future. Hello?
Hello, Kim.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is Ali from this Alhaji.
All right, Ali, let's talk.
And good afternoon to Eda Okoro, and I wish him 1 year more.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, sir. I think I want to talk of apologies the Mr. President has made. I think most of us are getting it wrong, in my own opinion. Why did I say so? I think the governance is not about an individual. It's a collective issue. We have president, we have vice president, and we have, division of labor in all HO. We have minister and petroleum, which Mr. President is. But he has apologized because as a minister and a president, I think the apology should be seen in the other angle. Because for 7 years this administration have come in, we have been enjoying partially light and this petroleum, of which we have been enjoying. Today we just only for a few days or few months, you see how we are growing.
Aliyu, please don't call this thing few months. I'm begging you with God. It is not a light thing for you to underplay it and call it few for something that's gone on for months.
For past 7 years.
Don't call this one few months. That's what few days. That's what I'm saying. Yes, not be fair to all of us.
Is it for the past 7 years that we've been like this when the government came? We have been enjoying electricity. We have been having petrol supply. It's of recent. So we can now say that the government has been working for the few time or few months that are not there. See how we are growing.
All right.
So what I'm trying to, and what I'm trying to say, Sammy D played a boss man of Mr. President, of when he was campaigning. When he said,
Ali, your time is actually up. I gave you extra time because I interjected.
Just let me run up. When Mr. President said he is going to face a lot of problems because all over the country, what people are demanding, he will not be able to meet their demand.
Thank you so much, Aliyu. We'd have to get on to the next caller. Hello. Good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the round table.
Oh, Henry. Good afternoon, my daughter. My name is Abdul Ibrahim from Maraba.
You're welcome, sir.
I greet you, Manuel.
Thank you, my
Happy
brother.
You see, Kimberly, yesterday I called when Mojiga with you, my book, because you see what's happened to Nigeria. I don't know, as Emmanuel Okoro talk, it's exactly what is happened to Nigeria. It's like say, Femi Adesina, John, my friend, and what is it, Garba Shefa did not tell our head of state what is happening to Nigeria. I was one time our head of state staff. My name is Abdi Ibrahim from Maraba. I work with him. I know it's half of somebody. It is before what is happening in NNPC there. In that section there, head must roll. What is Mary Carey doing there is the last signature to all. I don't know. The man of God has happy birthday. Thank you. Simply God bless my children.
Thank you.
Man is lost for what? Abu Ibrahim, thank you very much for calling. Let's hear another caller. Hello. Good afternoon. Oh dear. Hello? Hello? Good afternoon. Okay. The phone lines have a mind of their own. Hello? Okay, let's see if WhatsApp would work. Let's take the calls coming from that angle. Hello?
Hello, I'm Kim.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jay from Garki.
Welcome, Jay.
I want to wish an elder a happy birthday in Arias.
Thank you.
And please, elder, remember that all those fights they were doing in the National Assembly, it was men throwing chairs at each other. Just for reminders.
Since he said we should go back to independence and see if men are fault.
Yeah, so I have to call him to remind him. Then, secondly, this apology matter, it doesn't help anybody. Let us have light and let us have fuel. Just basic essentials that I've been hearing since I was in kindergarten. Please, and I'm not young. I'm not so young anymore. Then thirdly, the unfortunate incident in Anambra today. I mean, it was quite unfortunate because this is the day when we're celebrating a new dawn in Anambra. Can you imagine somebody who has brought a team together to create a PPF for a state? I mean, this is unprecedented, and it's something that everyone should rejoice and take a leaf from. But then, you know, there had to be my drama. We are not proud of it. It's rather unfortunate, but we are hopeful that Anambra State moves on.
Thank you very much. We'll keep that hope alive. Thank you so much. And Tony Elumelu, chairman of the United Bank for Africa, lamented the worsening living condition of Nigeria. I mean, we just look at a number of people who are talking about it, and he's looking at it from business perspective as to how this power supply, poor power supply, and fuel scarcity is affecting businesses in the country. If you're looking at from January when these started, particularly in the FCT, to this very point in time, businesses have had to run their gen and buying fuel for more than they would usually do at the end of the day would imply that the cost of doing business improve. We know that cost of doing business it's really high in Nigeria. And to think that you have to buy that fuel at a higher price makes it even more troubling at this point in time. So beyond the apologies to say, what can we do to salvage the situation?
That's right, Kim. Yeah. That's what I said. We need solutions, not apologies, really. And there's a lesson I thought, Kim, we are learning. When a new administration comes into play, they must look for round pegs in round holes. If you ask my assessment, the APC should have participated in selecting ministers. So I like people to name names, Kim. That's why your program is one of the most highly rated programs. You name who is doing what. Not people just come to the nebulous context of saying Nigerians. Name who is the man, like when we went to NDDC. We name names. We name the professor who collapsed allegedly because he was dwarfed with information about corruption.
But then you also ask, what's the outcome of it? All the name-naming and all the jaggery we saw on TV,
we will
what did
to
it
name
translate
names. Like
to?
Somebody said, the Minister of Petroleum is a president. And we should have asked our president, leave London, come back here and give us fuel, because you're in charge. And that's what I said, we should begin to get to people like, I gave you an example of Senator John James today there. He's saying he's in pain. I say, yeah. It's not a question of APC or Nigeria or Ghana. It's the people. Kim, you know where I come from. I come from a place called Ozwitem in Abia State. For 2 years, the place has been cut off by erosion. And I tell the people, don't keep saying Abia government. It's the Abia governor who lives 20 minutes away from the erosion in Ozwitem, in the local government. He's the man to fix the erosion in Ozwitem. It's not a question of saying Abia government. No, I don't go to Abia government. Go to Dr. Kezi Ikpazu. I said to him, Ozwitem people are crying. Fix the erosion. If you can't fix it, come to Abuja and talk to the works minister. Let's begin to apportion blames on people. This fuel thing, as I said, our president should have been touched. Go through all the major roads in Abuja, Kim. You cry. You, as a human being, you say, how can Nigerians be? Some have stayed there for many hours.
I mean, yesterday we got a caller who was at the filling station from 11 a.m. And as at when I was closing work, he was still there.
It's pain. We can't be
so
going
not
through this pain. I feel sorry for the president. The level of pain Nigerians are going through now, I just thank God it's not February. If this kind of situation happens in February,
special about February?
That's when we're going to have elections next year.
Ah, okay.
And, you know, one after the other, things are happening against the president's regime, and he's in London. If I was his hand, I would tell him to take the next flight and get back here.
All right. Well, Tony Adumelu, you say, how can a country so rich in natural resources have 90% of its citizens living in hardship and poverty? We need to be vocal about 2023, part of what he tweeted. So all of it is targeted towards making sure that the right people are elected in 2023. A lot of people have been encouraged to go get their PVCs.
Yes.
And to see, that's why a lot of Nigerians are also invested in what's happening within the political parties, big and small, to see who would be the man or woman, men or women who will emerge as the flag bearer for your party, federal, state, and local government. We need to know the character of these people, their antecedents, their pedigree, if they have the competence, the capacity, and even understand the party, because the structure and the DNA of the party will tell you if they have much to offer or nothing.
Yes. No, Kim, on that score, when I held a summit for all public relations officers working for the National Inland Waterways Authority, I asked, we in the media should not get involved stronger. And I like what you're doing, Kim. Many people listen to you. Time to go and get your PVC is now. Because we can no longer sit around and complain about people who are not doing well. You know, look at our concern, Kim. He says, anybody to be elected, you need something, attended class 5. Kim, I got my master's degree in 1983 from a big American university. How would somebody who is attended class 5 rule me? I'm looking for digital men and women who are learned, who can have empathy for the situation of the country. What is the problem? I was going to talk to the people who are running for chairman in local government area, AMAC. And I asked one of the leaders, what's the situation in AMAC? He laughed at me. He says, don't worry, we know what. I said, no. Before you campaign anywhere in the world, you should be familiar with the problems and the data. What is the maternal immortality rate in AMAC? What is the problem affecting the indigents of AMAC? Go and sit down and learn the matter. You don't come out and say, I'm giving you water, I give you light, I give you this. Kim, time for the media to stimulate our people's interest to judge. I'm not going to vote for anybody who's over 60. I won't do that. Reason. You've seen now my friend Tinubu is having a problem. The reason is that people are saying, we've seen what it means
to elect. He met with the APC members of the National Assembly.
And
he's selling himself, saying, I'm the best candidate.
And Kim, he's been getting, you know, I love God, goodness on Nigeria. People have been telling him, okay, you can't do this job. Bro. We are tired with people traveling because of health. That's why I said to myself, young men and women are learning people. There are so many sagacious men and women, young, who should be vibrant enough, sagacious enough, dedicated enough to present themselves. This morning, you heard what the APC secretary said, that they have now slashed down the conditions for young people to come and obtain funds and run for all the offices. And I said, it is the best thing to do. Let our young men and women use the various platforms and sell their ideas to Nigerians. Oh. Let's leave out those who are 75, 78, 79. No! Let's leave the younger men and women 40, 50, 60. The maximum, 60. They can be stronger enough. It doesn't mean that when you're 80, you may not be healthy. Mm. But listen, the younger people have greater health on their side than somebody who's above 70. I can tell you that from my experience. So I can tell you, Kim, let's encourage younger people. There are so many young men and women who are able to look at the element you're talking about. How old is he? And this period, this new dawn, we have God has shown us what we need, that we do not need older people anymore.
All right.
But we
from
need
an elder's mouth.
Yes, we need the younger people to come forward. Kim, you know when I left university? 1983, that's when I left university. How long? My children are all graduates now, Kim. I have a medical doctor who's a surgeon, who's doing good work. I asked him, come back to Nigeria, come to Gwarimpa. He's now working in Gwarimpa Hospital, doing well, making sure that people get better. I said, that's the only way you can impact humanity. Touch the lives of people. This is what I'm talking to the government, I'm talking to the political parties. Nigerians want results.